There's nothing like seeing a beautifully handcrafted item that really expresses the skill and passion of the artist. And generations of people have learned to create those lovely pieces out of fabrics, thanks to Nancy Zeman. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Nancy Zeman has been coming to into our homes as the host of
maybe this year.
Maybe it's this year. Sewing with Nancy, over 30 years, hard to believe, but she's been a companion and teacher for generations of sewers and quilters. She's just published a memoir called Seems Unlikely, S-E-A-M-S, Seems Unlikely, the inspiring true story of Nancy Zeman. Very happy to have her with us again today. Nancy, great to see you.
Thanks for the invitation, Larry. Always good to be here.
I was really taken by your book. You know, there are things that we don't have in common, but there are some things that we really have in common. And as I read through your book, I thought, man, that's my life in part. We're farm kids.
Sure, right.
So you're a Wisconsin farm gal. And
that's right.
How did that shape your personality?
Well, I think growing up on a farm, for those of us who have, you saw your parents very diligent in their occupations, very fastidious in their finances. They made good decisions, bad decisions. They had to depend upon weather. And so they didn't always have things come their way. And you worked as a unit.
Yeah.
So it gave me a great core.
Yeah, I agree. And when you were a baby, you had Bell's palsy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So tell us what that is.
Sure. It's an infection that came about because of an earache, and the ear infection went to the cranial nerve that controls the face nerve, mm-hmm. The smile and the eye blinking. And 94% of the people who get this recover, and then there's the 6% of us who don't. And I think if I had had steroids when I was back in 1954 it happened, it would go away. But unfortunately, it was just waited out and nothing happened. So, my face is not symmetrical and I can't change it, but it doesn't change what's, my ability to teach or, it's
absolutely
it's what's inside that's important, not on the outside.
Absolutely. Nancy Zeman, our guest today, author of Seems Unlikely. Great to have her with us today as she talks about her life in her book. I hope you'll join in. Have you watched her? Do you sew? How did you get the bug? And what keeps you there? Are you a fan of Nancy's? We'd love to hear your story, too, at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. You can post a question or a comment there. Love to hear from you. How did that affect you immediately?
Well, I was 14 months old, so immediately. I've never known the difference. And so I think if I had to have it, having it all my life is a benefit because I never knew the other Nancy. So I only knew this Nancy. So as a child, oh boy, not so fun. But a lot of people had trouble in grade school. So pretty shy, reserved, very shy.
Yeah. And it actually impacted even into your college career, too.
Yeah. When I went to college, I decided, okay, I'm going to... It's a new place. They don't know me. They haven't gone to school with me since I was in kindergarten. And so, I went up to people and say, hello, my name is Nancy Litke. I'm in room 109, Antrim. And they'd say, well, good to meet you. And then next person and next person. And so I had to really just dig deep and put a different, quote unquote, face forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, your memoir is titled Seems Unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing that the title comes apart from the fact that you wouldn't expect someone with Bell's palsy to be a TV personality.
And seems a little play on words there, S-E-A-M-S. And I have to say that people might think it's a heady or pompous thing to write a memoir, but I had so many people inquiring, behind this. When I did a Google search for my name to purchase a new URL or a new website, on Google... the most search points came up: Nancy Zeman stroke, Nancy Zeman face, Nancy Zeman smile. And I had to pick up my ego from the floor. No Nancy Zeman quilting or sewing. And so that prompted me to have a neurologist from University of Wisconsin on my program at the end of the show to explain to people, because that's what people want to ask. They want to know, but they're afraid to ask in front of me. They will ask someone behind me.
But we've actually had people ask right on this program.
They have, and that's fine. It's you what answer. It is. Yeah, right.
And you answer it. Donna in Cambridge has a comment. Hi, Donna. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, hi. Can you hear my voice good?
Yes, I can.
Okay, yeah. I've been sewing for most of my life, which is only 21 of my 60-plus years. Actually, the other way around, 61 of my 24 years. these days, I've partnered up with Birdine Feeberger of Fort Atkinson. She was voted best seamstress in the area around Fort Atkinson, and I live in Cambridge myself, and she is the most wonderful, intuitive, almost like the Nancy Zeman personality that I've watched for over 30 years on television when I lived in Milwaukee. Or has it been that long? I know it feels like 30 years. And just learned so much through all the years. And I started out with the frugal necessity, too. My mom passed when I was 12. And I was getting all these clothes from some friends of ours. But they were doable or fixable. Mm-hmm. So I hung them all up one time on a clothesline in the middle of our, because we were kind of low-income people, in the front of our living room, because my dad used to dry clothing in the living room on a line. And I looked at them, and I said, hey, I can do that with that and that and that. And before too long, inside of 2 years, I was altering my own clothes, like with that professional. And I took 2 years of clothing and two years of art in high school.
Well, so good for you, Donna.
And I just totally, totally enjoyed every single program that I've watched.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. And keep on keeping on.
And you're very much to be admired for all your intuitive and you're always a cheerful, perky person on television, no matter what.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. You made my day. Thanks for the nice call.
Gotcha. And Verdine is fun to work with, too. She'll be 96 in March.
Oh,
wow. Really
happy to, and is she sharp? We don't get anything past her. She's so very funny. And such a good person, too.
Thank you so much for calling. And that's great. You're working with a 95-year-old gal, soon to be 96. And I really appreciate the call, Donna. Thank you. I want to give Joe and Harper's Ferry a chance to join in. Harper's Ferry, Iowa. Hi, Joe. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I'll catch Nancy's show now and then when I'm flipping around, and I enjoy it because it reminds me of being, I'm a retired carpenter, and it's similar to construction.
Absolutely.
And the precision, the geometry, the techniques are it's similar to building a cabinetry or a table or even a home, and also find the demeanor of the show quite relaxing.
Well,
I enjoy
great.
It.
Oh. Well, Joe, I watch This Old House and never plan to fix my plumbing, but I do. I understand what you're saying because I like the processes, too.
Yeah.
You see how it goes together.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of comparisons.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. Appreciate the call. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call with your questions or email us at talk@wpr.org. Speaking of when you got started, pretty young as a farm girl, and for you too, as probably as our earlier caller, was in part necessity.
Yeah, exactly. In the early years of my life, sewing was economical. Today, no, it's not. It's a craft. It's a hobby. You can clothe yourself at a discount store much more reasonably, but you cannot make an heirloom, a special gift. That's where the importance is now of making something creative, individual, a memory, and that's where sewing and quilting have changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that I found interesting, and I'm thinking, well, this was me too. You devote quite a bit of time to your 4-H.
Right.
activities. Wow. That was so important for me, too. But talk mm-hmm. about 4-H as a big part of your life and why it was so important.
It was very pivotal in a very young age. I found my passion of sewing at 10 years old. My mom became the sewing leader because she wanted me to do 4-H as she had done. And there were like 10 girls in our little 4-H club, Winchester 4-H. And we all made the same thing for about 3 years. And then there was a demonstration contest.
Yeah.
That was I really didn't want to do that, but my mom kind of, nudged me into that. And making step-by-step samples for the 4-H demonstration is what I'm still doing today. So a little different, but it's amazing how that is a great organization.
Yeah.
And what a foundation it gave both of us.
Yes. I'm telling you, it's you think about all of the practice you got. I was an officer, but we'd mm-hmm. make these exhibits and so
right.
forth. You learned a lot about displaying, you learned a lot about speaking in front of people
right.
and how to be a leader.
Teamwork. Oh, wow.
I mean, that it's an amazing organization.
Truly is.
And I tell you what, I owe some of quite a bit of my own mm-hmm. Work. That's where I first learned how to speak in front of people, was in 4-H.
We share that same commonality, yes.
Ron in Milwaukee, thanks a lot for calling.
Well, Hi there. I've got two issues that I'd like you to comment about. The first is what I refer to as good goods, and that would be people's ability to discern quality goods in the marketplace. And maybe you can address that from the clothing, sewing perspective. And then the second issue is life skills. Somehow they're not being taught in middle school or high school any longer. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on that subject. And I've got to get back to work, so I'm going to take it off the air.
All okay. right. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Well, Ron, to determine or discern, as you put it, good goods, if you learn to construct something, you don't have to make everything that you wear or that you buy for your home, but by knowing the right way to do it, you can look at something and say, this is of quality, this is not. So knowledge is important, like it is in almost any area. It's the cornerstone. As far as life skills, oh, yeah. Sewing and quilting have math skills. They have life skills that you can learn just to simply put on a button or hem something. It is something that you can use every year of your life, just knowing the basics.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking today with Nancy Zeman about her life and about her book, her memoir. It's called Seems Unlikely, The Inspiring True Life Story of Nancy Zeman. Great to have her with us, and thank you so much for listening. And I hope you'll join us with your questions and comments and your experiences at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I hope you'll stay tuned because coming up at 11:45, we're going to be talking with Gail Ambrosius about how chocolates are made and some tips for enjoying them. Right now, we're talking with Nancy Zeman about her new memoir called Seems Unlikely. And again, you can join in with your comments or questions at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. And, before we go back to the phones, mm-hmm. You've got a book launch.
We do. Saturday.
Coming up. Saturday, yeah.
At Wisconsin Public Television in the Sewing with Nancy studio area, we're having a book launch. We're having hors d'oeuvres and a small book reading. And it's going to be a fun thing, Larry. They'll see behind the scenes of our studio. And it's on Saturday from 10 to 11:30. Our guests will need to register.
Okay.
Here's the number, 608-265-4446. And if they call that number, they can get all the details of Saturday's event. So it should be kind of fun. I'll read a little excerpts from the book and do a little photo op, and they'll each get a book with the registration.
Oh, wonderful. So mm-hmm. So again, the number is area code 608-265-4446. 265-4446. That's the number to call if you can. And again, it's this Saturday.
The 15th.
Mm-hmm. 15th at from, what is
10 to 11:30.
10 to 11:30. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. Wendy in Northfield, Minnesota, thanks a lot for calling. Hi.
Good morning, Larry and Nancy.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for having this show. Nancy, you are just a fabulous resource in the world of sewing. Your Corner segments on your shows, which I don't always get to watch, but it's so important to connect we individuals sewing away in our own little nooks with the wider world of what's going on. When you've had people on collecting sewing machines to use in Haiti or quilts for special needs, I think that's so important, and I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
All of the techniques I learn on your show, even though I have been sewing for 50 years, I was lucky enough to live in a house with a lot of kids, and the sewing machine was always set up, and there was always raw material to play around with, and I think that really served me well before that I had a chance to experiment before learning in school, which unfortunately most kids don't get to do anymore, and allowed me the freedom to play around. And in speaking of costs of sewing these days, I've always been a secondhand shopper for my whole life, so I often find beautiful fabrics and remake them into something that suits me. And I find that when people learn that I sew, they'll give me stuff, give me materials. So I really don't spend much at all.
Well, great.
And I'm lucky to have, you know, to get my creative fix without spending a lot of money. And people pay me to sew for them, too. So that's wonderful.
Well, that's better yet.
What a great package. Wendy, you you mentioned Nancy's Corner.
Yes.
I think that's a I call it my connect the dots, part of the program, where I may have someone from, like you say, the sewing machine project, which takes donation of sewing machines. So then you connect, I connect them to you, and it's kind of a full circle. And we have Skype equipment now that we send out to people all over the country, so we can have people in the studio from Kentucky and Kansas City on the same day. It's great.
Oh, wonderful.
It is. Thanks for doing that, and keep up the good work.
Thank you very much, Wendy.
Thanks, Wendy. And Kathleen in Greenville, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Nancy, I don't expect you to remember me, but my mom, Marie Simon, always said such nice things and was so happy to see your success. But there was an incident, and your cousins, I know Jeannie Julius Gofford and Jeannie Bayman Julius are planning on coming to this event. So they've been talking about it for ever since you announced it. They're very excited. So look for two of your cousin and cousin-in-law. And I was in Austin, Texas with Glennis Schaefer Klinker, and she is so proud of you. I visited.
Oh, my. Thank you for sending the wishes from my family.
Yeah, but hey, and you don't just say your cousin, you've got to give the name.
Oh, yes, I know.
People from Greenville.
Yes, okay, Greenville, it's right in my back door where I grew up. Thank you, Kathleen.
But here's the deal. Sherry Manning and my little sister and you were over at your grandma's, the Andersons or the Larsons or somebody's, and they were playing, and my mom had dropped off. You guys were playing with wedding gowns. My mom would, at the sidewalk sales in Appleton, would buy them for $2 and $3. And you were in some kind of playhouse. And I always had to work, being the oldest girl. I was always working and couldn't be there. But Ma came home, and she was just laughing so hard. And she said, you guys were playing getting married. And I said, who were you marrying? And she said, you were playing that you were getting married to Little Joe Cartwright.
Oh, wow. what a catch. Thanks for jogging my memory, Kathleen. That's great. And I'll look forward to seeing my cousins on Saturday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks, Kathleen. Little Joe. Boy,
okay.
That's a name from the past. From Bonanza.
There you go. That's right.
Oh, my goodness. That was a blast from the past. Judy and Grand Marsh, hi, thank you for calling.
Thank you so much for this, and I'm so anxious to read your story. After we get introduced to you, most of us find out somewhere along the way the name of what you have, but it's your example of courage. I don't don't know how much you can. It's an emphasis, I'm sure. It's something we're going to be interested in. But seeing you every week, every time we see you, what you come away with is that you're beautiful.
Well, and, thank you, Judy.
The example to other people when bullying is so rampant mm-hmm. and it's talked about so much, you can't show yourself often enough an example for so many.
Well, I appreciate that comment. I have to say that the reason for writing this is that all of us have issues, whether mm-hmm. they're social, economic, physical, whether they happen this decade, all your life, or at some time or the other. We all have stuff to live with. And it doesn't have to define us. You know, it can be there, but we can go beyond it. And that was one of the other reasons to say, if you have stuff, which we all do, have the courage to go beyond it.
Yeah,
that's right. This book should be in every grade school and high school, if they have home economics or not. They should put it close to every young woman.
Thank you, Judy. How kind of you.
Thank you very much for calling, Judy. I appreciate it. You know, everybody who's called said, oh, we really enjoyed the show and the programs. I thought it was an interesting story how you got into it in the first place. Wow.
Yeah. It was, I was asked to do a pilot for cable television in 1981, and that was before we knew what cable was. It wasn't holding up your antenna to the top of your roof. And the person I worked with after 11 shows said, this isn't working. Go ahead and do it yourself. And I wasn't going to do it. And I woke up that night in a cold sweat thinking, if you don't do this now, you'll never have another chance. And I cut my teeth on cable television. There were very few people watching, thankfully, because I had to hone my presentation. And teaching to a camera and teaching to a group are night and day.
Yeah, it's really, mm-hmm. really, really a lot different. And you were on commercial television.
Cable, right. And then 1985, Nebraska PBS made a contact. And so then we were on Nebraska and cable for a time, too. So it was a great multitude of circumstance and blessings that came to me.
Yeah. Jenny and Colby, thanks for calling. Hi. Appreciate your call.
Thank you. It's funny. I learned to sew through 4-H, but it wasn't a sewing class. It was a dairy project.
Ah.
I had a nice Holstein heifer calf, mm-hmm. and I wanted a nice blanket for her, and that wasn't in the family budget. And so I took some of my dad's grain sacks,
mm-hmm.
and on my grandmother's old treadle machine, I made a nice blanket for my calf.
Great.
And I've gone on to sew for my kids and myself, and now I'm a quilter. And I've done custom sewing, and I've done mending and whatever, but I'm quilting, and I'm having a great time. And I still have my grandmother's old sewing machine.
Keep it. It's a treasure, Jenny. And you've learned many life skills of math and being resourceful and the process of assembling. It's great.
She made most of my clothes when I was growing up. She lived with us, and I would stand at the side of the sewing machine. She kept telling me to keep my fingers out of the wheel.
Good advice, right?
Now that you're talking about it, I'm remembering my sister from 4-H. I believe made a dress out of a flour sack. Or it might have been a feed sack.
Oh, it could be a flour sack, probably.
Flour sack.
Yeah. My grandmother made me a two-piece outfit out of flour sacks.
Yeah.
I remember that. They were quite popular, and they're very expensive if you can find them.
Yes, now they're very expensive. You're exactly right.
Oh, great stories, Jenny. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate it. You can join in, too, by the way. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'd certainly love to hear from you. And you started Well, you worked in the textile industry for several years.
Well, I worked for Minnesota Fabrics, which was, now it's Hancock Fabrics, as their home economist in Chicago. And each store had a home economist, and we would give seminars each week for about 2 months. We'd give a new topic: sewing swimwear, sewing suede, sewing and quilting. Oh man, it was a wild ride trying to get ready for a seminar, but it taught me exactly what I do now. I mean, get ready for a new idea. Not every week, thankfully, but I didn't have a staff. Now I do. So
yeah, you started your own company.
Yes, I did, by myself. But then it's no longer by myself. My name's on a building, on a TV show, on catalogs and books. But it takes, I'm the band director. if the participants don't play their instruments, we don't have any music.
Well, and you say in the book that you've always seen yourself as a teacher, and what are the pros and cons of teaching television viewers? Are there?
Well, teaching television viewers, obviously, have a wider viewership, but now with everything being online at nancyzeman.com, they can watch 70 shows, current shows. That's the beauty of it. It's accessible, instantaneous information.
And you can see it.
Yeah, right.
And that's the other big thing. Is there a con to it? Is there a disadvantage?
Well, you don't, you have to kind of, you don't get any feedback. You have to kind of have some voice changes, like they got it. Like, no, you're going to have to understand this. You have to talk to them like they're there. At first, it was pretty, it was difficult to learn.
Yeah.
That they were listening. So you had to kind of imagine feedback, imagine their response.
Yeah. Yeah. No, know all about that. Man in Reedsburg. Yeah. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call.
I just have a quick comment. I want to, make it clear that sewing is great for guys to learn too.
Absolutely.
I use it quite often. I've made window coverings for my deer stand. I've, repairing clothes, whatever. But I use it all the time, and it's a good thing to learn for everyone.
Yeah,
absolutely, John. Good luck. Keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. How about John and Rice Lake? Your turn. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Hey, Nancy. How are you?
Well, John.
I just wanted to share that I grew up in 4-H as well. And the first year, I took a program called Exploring, which touched on a little bit of everything. And I learned to sew on a button and darn a sock and put on a patch. And I also learned cooking and electricity and eventually went more into woods and electricity. But
sure.
I still love to cook and I still sew. And my mom had an old white, the brand name was White, and it was a pedal sewing machine. And she always told us, the little kids, to stay away from it because she didn't want her needles broken. And so one day she was out doing chores, and I decided to see how that works. And as I was doing that, I put the needle right through the thumbnail of my thumb, and it came out the other side.
Oh!
And of course, I pulled back and broke the needle. Well, I didn't want to get in trouble and tell her. So I got some pliers and I pulled it out myself.
Oh.
That was pretty sore for a long time.
We're cringing here.
We're both cringing.
And then I blamed it on my brother, of course. But she never knew that I did that. But boy, that was I learned real quick to stay away from those moving parts.
Well, life lessons in many ways.
Oh man, a great story, John. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, although you did get us both to cringe a little bit there. Oh, Nancy in Grafton. Hi, thank you for calling.
Well, good morning, Nancy.
Good morning.
Well, anyway, I was a farm girl, too, and I lived up in Marathon County. And a week before Christmas, a drunk driver hit my dad's car, and my mother was killed. Well, my little brother, Glenn, was supposed to carry baby Jesus up for midnight mass. And then he wasn't there, and my mother had the material all to make this angel costume gown. And the sisters at school said, oh, we can find somebody else. And I said, no, I think I can do this. So I cut out, and I sat down at that treadle sewing machine, and I was sewing the gown. And it was going pretty good. It was pretty simple. And then there was this gold sticky stuff that you were supposed to put on the armbands and down at the bottom of this hem, and I'm trying to sew this on there. And it was so sticky, and then thread kept breaking, and the needle got gummy, and I said, Mama, help me. And I thought, I came to my mind, if I took tissue paper and put it underneath and over the top, maybe that would work. And by golly, it did. And Glenn wow. carried baby Jesus up in the angel costume. And then another thing was, I had gotten a new tweed, black tweed coat that winter. And my mom had worn that on her trip to Wausau. And of course, when she was in the accident, the coat got split down the back and gravel was in it. My Aunt Marie went and sewed it up. She fixed it up, got it cleaned and everything, and I wore that for a long time. But then I got married, and then I had a little girl. And I took my tweed coat apart, and I made my little daughter, Sherry, a nice winter coat out of that. So those are the memories.
Wow. Heartwarming. Thank you, Nancy.
Heartwarming. Wow. Yeah. You have both of us close to tears here. To be perfectly honest, thank you so much for sharing your story. I really appreciate it. Joan and Baraboo, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to call.
Mm-hmm.
2 years ago, I had a stroke following open-heart surgery. I'm a quilter. Mm-hmm. I was a quilter then, and I'm a quilter now, but it's so very difficult because I have a hard time following directions. I have to reread and reread and reread,
sure.
and then, you know, it's measured 7 times and cut once and hope you don't cut a finger off. But I'm determined that I'm going to be able to go back to making quilts because, among other things, I have this enormous stash because I keep coming to your quilt expo and going home with
it's cheap therapy.
Yeah, it's wonderful. But I thank you.
Oh, you're welcome,
you
Joan.
Have been an inspiration, and your instructions are so clear when you're teaching something that it makes it much more doable for me, and I really, really, truly appreciate you. So keep up doing this forever.
I'll try, and your perseverance will pay off.
Yeah.
I know it will.
Yeah, thank you very much, Joan, for calling. Betty and Dale, it's your turn. Betty, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you. I also like Nancy's program, and especially Nancy's Corner, which a question came up in my mind, and actually then a second one, too. But the first one was my mother, who is 97, I believe,
mm-hmm.
And suffers from macular degeneration, is a lifelong mender. She would mend everything. And now, of course, not being able to see, she really, that's such a hole in her days, you know, not being able to do what she loves. I just wondered if Nancy knew of any simple kind of sewing that, with a machine or by hand, that would be possible for people with limited eyesight.
Hmm.
That's a good, I don't have an answer for that, Betty, but I'm trying to get Nancy's Corner, someone from Texas who's blind and sews thousands of quilts, maybe hundreds of quilts. You jogged my memory to have Lois, my assistant, call her again and see if we can get her on TV.
Yeah, that'd be mm-hmm. wonderful.
Okay, we'll take care of that. We'll try to take care of that. Thank you. And I wish I had an answer, but I don't write off.
All right, but Nancy wrote it down.
Yes, I did.
So she made a note, and she'll follow up, I'm sure of that, Betty. Thank you so much for calling. And Jane and Madison, hello.
I just want to tell Nancy that my mother was an expert seamstress. She made men's suits, wedding dresses.
Mm-hmm.
It was beautiful, but she was a terrible teacher. And never taught my sister and I how to sew, and my sister still breaks out in a sweat when she walks past the sewing machine.
Sure.
So I moved here to Madison and found your program, and I was expecting. And I did a little research, and that would help with your program, and I made my daughter's christening dress. So when my mom came and she showed her, I said, look, I got a new dress. And she said, where did you get it? And when I told her I made it, oh, she cried.
Sure. We all have different gifts, you know.
Right. And I told her, you know, I'm old enough that if there's something I want to learn, I'll go find somebody who will teach me.
Sure.
No. And you've been wonderful for all these years. Thank you.
Oh, thank you for calling. That's very, very touching.
Very, very touching. I think that I want to go back to your Saturday event because that is that's going to be a lot of fun.
I think so. Yeah. I did one of the couple of these last week and do some readings from the book and tell. We have a PowerPoint presentation where these can see some of the photos and the early years of starting Nancy's Notions and early years of TV. You know, it was kind of crude. But yes, it's at the 15th from 10 to 11:30. And Larry, you wrote down the number.
The number I did write down the number. Mm-hmm. The number is. You need to call ahead just to get to reserve a spot. And the number is area code 608-265-4446. So it's 608-265-4446 this coming Saturday, 10 to 11:30 at Wisconsin Public Television.
Right, downstairs in the studio.
Down in the studio and the... The building is Vilas Hall, and it's located on the corner of South Park Street and University Avenue.
And when they register, they'll get information.
Yeah, and there's parking very close.
Exactly.
Well, Nancy, I loved your book. Thanks,
Larry.
It's a wonderful read, and I hope you sell a million copies.
That would be nice. Proceeds go to adoption, by the way, some of the proceeds.
Ah, thank you. Nancy Zeman. A lot of fun talking with her. She's a creative, really an entrepreneur, and it's wonderful to have a chance to visit with her. Coming up next, we're going to talk with someone else who's very talented and also a very skilled business person, but instead of using fabric for her creations, she uses chocolate. Coming up next, we'll visit with Gail Ambrosius. So stay with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.